Hey everybody, this is a special edition podcast. I guess it's technically 151, but it's Christmas Eve, hanging at the store. It has been insane up until literally right now, which is 2:20. So if here we'll sit and talk a little bit. I'm probably not going to be able to do too much because people are going to be coming in. But joining me today, not tonight, today is our...
Josh.
Pat.
Adam.
No, Dave's not here, man.
Who else works on Christmas?
He made a big deal about no work today.
No, I thought that was really funny. Yeah, he's working. I'm working.
Yeah.
So?
It doesn't look like it.
I thought you were sitting here doing a podcast.
Speaking of which, you got a customer.
It's Matt.
So?
He turned around. You're good.
Okay. You guys,
he left.
I'm not done. You guys.
He was just looking.
Okay. Hi, everybody. All right. So, what are we? What do we got? Any news?
Actually, I didn't hear.
Is there
TV? Constantine. Constantine got new
tops. Yeah, Constantine.
Oh, yeah,
8 o'clock.
I'm coming back, I think, January 16th.
Yeah.
Now, is that the To Be Continued? That's what
it's going to be part two.
Okay.
5 episodes in the spring.
I hope that that helps it gain a bigger audience.
I hope so.
Yeah, I think their thought is putting it before Grimm will help out. Although it's,
does anybody watch Grimm?
A lot of people watch Grimm.
Really?
Yeah, okay. Its ratings are pretty insane. They thought putting it after,
we'll
it would get the
crowd.
The crowd to stay,
yeah.
But they're not saying beforehand.
Yeah.
Who knows?
They give it a try. I think it's a good show. I thought the last episode was really good. I'm reading the books right now, which Pat yelled at me for today, because his wife was wanting to buy the same books.
Yeah.
Oh, and you bought them?
She wanted volumes 2 and 3. We came in on Sunday.
I bought them on the sale.
And he bought them, so he's a big stupid jerkhead.
Yeah, I bought them on the sale for that he had for trades.
Was it on Saturday? You must have bought them Saturday.
Because I came down. I saw you here. Because I came down to buy...
You were here Thursday.
I bought Punk Rock Jesus as a Gift and Why the Last Man for me.
Yeah. I'd like to read that, Why the Last Man. I like to read Punk Rock Jesus.
Punk Rock Jesus
is
awesome.
Yeah, I read the first issue.
That's one of those books where I looked at it and had no interest, but he kept pushing it.
It was one of those things that I think they had digital for a good price, so I decided I'd pick it up.
And the Why the Last Man, since they have the bigger issues now,
yeah,
or the bigger trades, I figured I'd pick that up and finally read that.
Yeah, I picked that up on Free Comic Book Day. You had those dollar issues
that
was giving out.
Yeah,
I got the first issue of it on Comixology for free. Like, I think they're 12 days of comics 2 years ago.
Okay.
But hadn't read it yet.
Yeah, no, it's that is a really good book.
Other news? Spider-Woman gets a new costume?
Speaking of TV shows, you guys watched The Flash tie over?
Yeah.
Was that real?
Yeah.
Yeah,
two-part.
How did they catch the bad guy in The Flash? That was kind of abrupt. Like, all of a sudden, he was just in the jail. They were just like, let's go get him. And then they came back from partial break, and he was in the prison.
He was the guy that turned into...
He was the not the rainbow guy, but it was something like that.
He was making it was the eyes. The eyes were changing, and then after he arrows stopped the Flash, and they were able to use the color thing, they went to commercial break, and they said, "Well, let's go get the bad guy." And then we get back from commercial break, he was in those tunnels.
Cisco did something, but I forget what he did.
And I just don't remember seeing it. I just assumed the DVR messed up, and then I watched on Hulu, and nothing changed. So I was like, "What happened?"
Yeah.
I was just curious about that. Anybody else know what happened? But what else is in the news?
The Spider-Man new costume. Spider-Woman new costume.
Yeah, I think that... I like it.
It's more functional.
It's good. It like we're saying, kind of like reminds me of Batgirl's new costume.
Yeah.
Has
which is
jacket.
What they're trying to go for. But
it's definitely modernized.
The big question is, how are the goggles staying on her face?
She has
supposedly, whenever she's in costume form, like, they can get bigger and kind of, like,
adhesed
to her face.
Okay.
That's what they were... A lot of people were saying that. And I assume that anything could stick to spider people because they have that web, like, the spider touch. But I don't know.
The spiders have it all over their body, though?
I don't think so. So, I don't know. Maybe it's just a suction. I guess there's technology out there. She's like a Hydra.
She's a secret Avenger.
Yeah.
MODOK's developing something for her.
Yeah. I've always liked Spider-Woman. And that's odd because I don't really like a like it when they're just like, let's create a Superboy, you know, or
it's a spin-off of a character we like just to keep copyright.
But it doesn't feel like she ties that much, at least right now, into like Spider-Man. Like, I feel like she stands on her own.
No, she's never been a Spider-Man character. Yeah. She's, although they do have her in Spider-Verse, but she's not a Spider-Man character. She's a Hydra character, or, you know, a S.H.I.E.L.D. character.
Yeah.
Spider-Verse.
Wow.
Wow.
Big load of crap. Let's,
it is the proverbial turd in a punch bowl.
It wouldn't be that bad. I'm telling you right now. It's not the writing. It's the how they're... The plan, the structure of it. Its structure is made to sell books. It has a story that seems interesting. You know, the idea seems interesting. So I don't really blame... I was talking to Nick, who used to do the podcast here, and, you know, he was saying, you know... I said, I made a post online on Facebook saying, you think it's time for a new writer, which really I do think it's time for a new writer.
It is,
yeah.
But he was saying no. And I said, well, to tell you the truth, I don't think it's Dan Slott's writing. But I think the book has seriously went downhill since Superior. And then when the Spider-Verse event came out, it seemed like there was some hope for it. And then it's just not planned or structured very properly.
It didn't help either that Superior surprised everyone. Because when Superior first announced and launched, most people were really hating on it, like saying that, you know, Dan Slott, you know, ruined their character,
ruined
Peter Parker, they were done with Marvel books. And then people loved it, and it was great. And then whenever they switched back to Amazing and went back to, you know, your normal Peter Parker.
Peter Parker.
Really, let's be honest, there wasn't a whole lot of fallout from Superior Spider-Man and Amazing Spider-Man.
No.
Like, we thought there was going to be this whole, you know, amnesia thing, and he didn't know what was going on, but really, like,
he got over that.
Still had his memories. Yeah. He got filled in on what happened. There was no big conflict with him and, you know, Anna
Everything
Maria.
Seems okay.
So it was like nothing ever happened.
I always feel like he wasn't ready to end it. This was a Marvel thing. It was just like, we need to do this.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
And I think he was still going on, which, truthfully, you know, I don't think you should really continue, like, keep it going for too long. Because then you get a clone saga, you know, if Marvel's just like, this is so good, we need to keep this going on for a while just to get the money in. Which Marvel was famous for that, and I think they're going back to that. I think they're reverting back to their ways of trying to bring out a bunch of garbage, because then you get a lot of money for a lot of, you know, they can bring in money for having a lot of books in, even if they're mediocre.
Yeah.
And I think that's what Quesada tried to get away from when he took over, because if you remember the last 10 years, we actually had books that were fairly decent. I thought the last 10 years of Marvel Comics were not too bad. With Bendis on Avengers, I think Avengers, he turned into a franchise.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And that's something nobody has made it that popular. It's not even the movies that are making Avengers popular. Bendis made Avengers a popular book.
Yeah, but then he went to X-Men, and that got derailed. And I don't necessarily think that's his fault.
I don't know what happened to X-Men. I don't know if they were just like, we need to put you on.
How is that one
else?
Not his fault, though?
Well, okay, so the Battle of the Atom thing derailed. Because
that,
especially...
That was him, though. That was his event.
Yeah.
And Bendis is essentially their Jeff Johns.
Yeah, no, he is.
So I'd like to think that Bendis... is the guy that says this is what's going to
happen.
I don't
know if he is so much anymore. Because...
If he's not the equivalent, he's pretty close at least.
Well, what I'm saying is, like, Jeff Johns actually has the position of...
He's what, chief creative
like
officer?
Basically, their chief creative officer. So basically, every large thing that happens is him.
It has to go through him.
Yeah. So, with that, I don't think Bendis is that anymore. I think he was more when he was more popular, but I think he is actually not as popular anymore, because I think that's why X-Men isn't doing as well as it is. And it's odd that they did move into X-Men, because that's almost like moving into another comic book company, you know, because X-Men is so separate from
everything else.
And it's been like that for years.
I mean, unless he wanted to change, because he's doing that, he's doing
Guardians. And
that's
Guardians. A possibility. Yeah. He might have wanted to change, but I think it took him away from that. He's not so popular in the Ultimate Universe anymore, because the Ultimates, he's been on Ultimate Spider-Man for, he might be the longest running person to be on a comic book.
On Ultimates?
Ever, yeah, on Ultimate Spider-Man. He's been on that book for a long time. I think he's still on it, isn't he?
I don't know. I don't read it.
Bendis is still on Ultimate Spider. He's the only writer that's ever written that book.
Yeah, and he's been on that book forever. I liked it when it first came out. I really did. Ultimate Spider-Man. I tell anybody, pick up Ultimate Spider-Man trades from the beginning. I think they just redid the Ultimate Universe in a more modern way.
Okay.
And almost for a younger audience, which it wasn't.
Christmas presents.
That's what it was made for. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people kept saying, you know, well, no, they made the Ultimate Universe because they wanted to make it more gritty and more, you know. I was like, no, that's not what they did.
Yeah.
Originally, what they did was the movies were coming out. They took their two most popular movies at the time, which were X-Men franchise, Spider-Man franchise, and they made two books out of them. They made Spider-Man first and went on for a while, and then X-Men came out after that. And that's what they worked with. And they were just trying to bring in new people. And then it all fell apart. But it's a really... really decent stuff to pick up. Even the X-Men stuff. My favorite Ultimate X-Men story is Return of the King. And it's basically the return of Magneto, and then they bring Asteroid M into it. And it's just a really good, it's almost like reading a movie sometimes, because it was that good. They made it really good. I don't know who was writing at the time. I think Miller was on. No, maybe Miller wasn't on anything. He did Ultimates for a while.
Okay.
It was okay. I didn't like the Ultimates as much as that. But Ultimate X-Men and Ultimate Spider-Man are really on. Really good stuff. Yeah, but I don't know. Bendis, I think he's kind of fell off the rails. I mean, he's not like the Bendis of Marvel that we
know. Yeah, and it's... maybe they won't kick him off a book. Yeah. Because I don't... from what Colin says, and from right here from other places... the X-Men books aren't doing great sales wise. I don't think. Are you reading them, Colin?
Peter.
Colin, how were the last X-Men books?
Peter.
Colin's reading Axis. Sixes.
He's the only one
reading it
in the company.
He's only reading it so he can yell about it.
In the entire company.
Sorry, I was walking by.
He can rant about it.
I stopped reading the X books. It was shortly after Battle of the Atom.
Yes, same as everybody else.
We were talking about basically how Bendis doesn't seem like a heavy hitter anymore at Marvel.
His name, it doesn't have, the fact that he's doing a book doesn't really mean as much as it
does. How's Guardians doing now?
Yeah, that's
it's slowing down. I mean, it's certainly not doing it like it was at the peak of the movie. Nobody expected that.
It just seems really odd with him because he was their Geoff Johns for a while. And then they just kind of fizzled out. But Geoff Johns hasn't.
No. Geoff Johns, though, I think because...
Geoff Johns loves the DC Universe.
He loves the DC Universe. He's clearly passionate about it. He gets involved in very, he's very much their face of the comic side of the company. And he only sticks to, two books, which I think that was a mandate from DC itself. He couldn't be on more than two books, but... he's not.
I think with everything else he does, though. I think they might.
But I think for him, since he's also the chief creative officer,
he's got other stuff going on.
He's producers on the movies,
all the shows,
TV shows. That's why they were talking about him being a big part of the Flash. Because Geoff Johns loves the Flash. I forget what his favorite character is. It might be the Flash.
That would sound right.
I think
it's the Flash, and although you could make an argument for Richard Donner's Superman.
Yeah.
Sometimes I think...
well, he's big on Richard Donner's Superman because he was involved in Donner's Superman.
Well, he was Richard Donner's assistant.
Yeah, he was his assistant. Which is funny because I guess he got to read, they had a storage room, and he got to read the Goonies 2, which never came out, but there was a script for the Goonies 2.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. But yeah, he's had that stuff. Setting aside.
And then he and Donner worked on that one Superman.
He did a Superman book, and frankly, I think this one that's out basically is what Richard Donner was planning on sometimes.
Yeah.
I wouldn't put it past this story that's happening now.
Oh.
The fake Superman.
Yeah.
Go over to that table over
Matt, you're welcome to join.
It feels really nice that they've finally gotten, I feel, Superman back on track.
Yeah.
Between Greg Pak on Action Comics, him and Aaron Cutter are doing such great work.
Yeah.
They really capturing just the voice of Clark and not just making Superman a bully.
Yeah.
And like I said, right now what Jeff and Romita Jr. are doing on Superman has just been...
Oh, it took the book into a totally different direction.
Yeah.
It was not doing very well at all. And, you know, they had Lobdell on it for a while. I'm just like,
it wasn't doing great with Lobdell on it?
No, surprisingly. I know. It's a shocker.
It's a shocker.
The next day, we're going to put Liefeld on it. You know?
Well, that would have saved it.
Yeah, that would have saved the book.
Don't put that thought out into the universe, because it might happen.
Yeah, that was a joke, people. It was a joke. You can't draw feet. Okay. Man, there's so many jokes about that feet thing, because I guess he's doing covers or something. I don't remember what exactly. But he had something, and they were just like, he drew feet! He's learned how! And it's just like, yeah, we're still bad. What is he doing? Did you see covers of something he was doing?
Oh, I mean, he's almost a professional Deadpool promoter.
Yeah.
I mean, because he created it. And he's also... He's doing some, like, the new, like, Phantom Dynamite exclusive covers and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So that's what he's... I know that he was promoting a lot of the Mandrake the Magician and the Phantom.
Oh, the Phantom and Flash Gordon.
Flash Gordon. He's doing all covers for that.
I think
that
it might
right
be Phantom Flash Gordon I'm thinking of that he did. Yeah, he did some covers. That's the ones I saw. Did they have a bunch of pouches? Did he have a gun that no human would be able to hold? That has, like... 15 barrels to it.
Like the gun from Beverly Hills Cop 3.
What?
Remember Beverly Hills Cop 3? The gun he got?
Yeah.
From
Sidge.
Yeah, from Bauke.
Oh, yeah. Colin likes Rob Liefeld. He wants us to stop.
Moving on.
Moving on from Rob Liefeld.
Hey,
Rob Liefeld's a silent partner in the store.
Say what you will. We're all talking about Rob Liefeld.
Yeah.
No, the thing is, one.
No, I'm just saying everybody slams
sit down
Rob.
And make my
no,
stance.
Everybody slams Rob, which is fine.
His
art. No. But like, I listened to a podcast he did. Just a guy who's genuinely excited about comics.
Oh, I can see.
Maybe not
that.
The most talented.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
He's not a bad guy, and everybody just slams
him.
I'm like, it's been done.
I don't even know him.
Colin's whole thing is if he took the Deadpool thing out of the equation, half of his sales would be gone. So he's all about Rob.
No.
But
no.
We'll wrap this
but,
up, though, with
okay.
Superman.
Well, I heard Lobdell.
Okay.
Rip him. I don't care about that. Yeah, I just, everybody always bashes him. He can't draw. He's bad, but. But also, he's totally burned his bridges at DC, talking to the guys there.
Yeah.
It'll never happen again. After the way he left those books. Because they gave him a nice chance. You know, they gave him a bunch of books. Here you go. And just the way he burned his bridges on the way out from that.
Yeah, he was the most incredible of anybody I've ever seen in comics.
Gotta pull his books.
But yeah, did you guys see the Superman cover coming out in January, I guess?
No.
Is that the...
It's the red,
movie
yeah.
cover?
No. This
movie
one is
covers
like
March,
a,
I think.
He's
oh, okay.
He's got a new power. New powers.
Okay.
Says he's I hope he's not the red Superman.
And they
the
said a new suit. Like, and they mentioned a new suit.
Yeah.
So I don't know what they haven't
cover
revealed.
Cover had it basically red.
So,
all red.
Are the red trunks coming back?
I don't know. I'm a little curious myself.
I wouldn't mind if they actually incorporated some of the Man of Steel costume. Like, I think that's actually a pretty cool-looking
yeah,
suit.
Yeah.
Or even just pretty much just losing the collar. Even just you take, like, the suit he has now and just kind of
drop the collar a little bit.
And just kind of go the more traditional Superman neckline and
yeah.
it pretty much be the Man of Steel suit.
Yeah.
So.
But, I'm kind of excited for that. So that's coming out. January.
And I don't know if you guys.
They're starting the new storyline in January, right? The new arc. Okay, he doesn't.
I think today might be the last.
I think today's might
part
be the
of
last
the current.
Of that.
And they're doing
Man of Tomorrow arc, whatever it's called.
The John Romita Jr. Superman statue looks amazing. It's in this month's previews. Like. It looks really, really good.
I'd like to
see
a statue from him. That would be different.
Yeah, it's from... It's actually...
Because his art is very...
It's very that Romita is coming poster.
Yeah.
They took that and they based that off the...
I'll have to see the statue because I didn't love that poster.
Yeah, that actually came
okay.
Oh, is it? Oh yeah, that's very different.
It actually makes the I don't always like the bright colored blue, but
yeah.
I think the shiny blue actually works on that one.
That's okay. Yeah, that's a lot better than I thought it would, because I could not see him as a statue.
Yeah,
like said, as a statue.
Yeah,
he's going to be writing an issue and
Yeah,
his art is not very three dimensional. That's why it's more sketch draw, which changed throughout the years. Because his art used to look like his father's,
and
then it just started to adapt a bit.
I almost think his style now, in particular with this last Superman story, is almost Kirby-esque.
Yeah.
In the terms of just the just the.
Okay, losing Josh, everybody.
Yep. Sorry, have to head out, do family stuff. Everyone have a nice holiday. And we'll see you next week.
All right, we'll see. He's going to help Dave be he's Dave's elf.
I will say before I leave, I gave the second Wonder Woman a try.
Okay.
It was marginally better, but still not good by any means.
So you'll be getting
I will not be going in for the third one. And they can thank Darwin Cook for even trying the second one.
Yeah.
Look, man, they're drawing a line at $2.99. You can't beat that. It's Spark. You got it, though.
Are they still drawing a line at
$2.99? I'll see you guys.
How do you go
Merry
from
Christmas,
someone
Merry
like
Christmas.
As
Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas. Christmas.
Someone as innovative and progressive as Brian Azzarello and Cliff Chang, who clearly were just a well-oiled machine with that run, who are trying something different and dynamic to just plain... ordinary, dull, generic David Finch and Meredith Finch. And I tried to give the issue a shot and, you know, it's just...
I talked to him on...
I hear one more word about vegetative injustice.
I talked to him on Twitter, David Finch, about, like, I have this Spider-Man poster that came in, like, a Wizard. You remember Wizard used to do those poster books?
Yeah.
And I had the Spider-Man one, which had, like, all different suits at the time, like Black Suit, Cosmic. They had the, what were the three Spider-Man identities that were, like...
Dusk,
Ricochet.
Ricochet, and, Slinger. Stinger or something,
The Slingers.
Yeah.
The Slingers, yeah. I had that poster, and, like, it had Aunt May, it had Spider-Ham, and I sent a message to him. I was like, hey, I said, this needs updated because there's tons of new suits, but I had that on my wall for, like, the longest time, and he said, I haven't seen this in years. But it's funny because, like, I'm not a huge fan of his art, especially face-wise.
I think he was an artist who – I think he was a much
– Honestly,
But I think his previous stuff was a lot tighter.
Yeah.
And I think there was a lot more – I don't know. It felt a lot – his earlier work felt a lot tighter than his current stuff, and sometimes it's just a little, like, sometimes the faces are a little, like, off-center of the head.
Yeah.
And it's just a little wonky, and...
Was he on Avengers Disassembled? Was that
yes,
the artist on
yes,
that?
he did the... What? Oh, man. Did
you read that, Pat, Avengers Disassembled?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a really good...
Yeah. I just reread that... Speaking of Bendis,
Disassembled, and basically I always assume the sequel is House of M. So read Disassembled,
then House
of
M.
Oh, what a good! I mean, that's what I'm saying. Brian Michael Bendis. I mean, that was a great two stories.
I even read that. I actually just reread it last night. Secret War, not the new one that's coming out, but
the
Gabriel Del Otto. Yeah,
that was
and,
when he finally vanished for like almost 10 years. I think.
It was a really strong story. I think Bendis. Wasn't always be a better writer when he's writing a smaller group of characters. That's why, you know, Daredevil was always so tight, and
that's the problem.
And Ultimate Spider-Man was so tight.
Yeah, if you look at X-Men, there's a lot of characters there.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's the problem with my biggest problem with Marvel right now is that I don't have teams that I can go with. You know, like if I go to X-Men, well, who are the X-Men? You know.
Oh, which X-Men?
Cyclops,
Wolverine,
which team is what? I'm just like, you know, who are the X-Men? You know, who are the Avengers? You know, Hyperion, but it could be the Secret Avengers.
Hyperion? Why would you add Hyperion to your Avengers?
Yeah. And if you, I don't know if anyone.
That's why I tell people, and if Matt is listening, because we debate this all the time. I have no problem with Marvel. I really don't. I love Marvel characters because they're so real.
Yeah.
That's my biggest thing with Marvel. But right now, it's just so hard to get into Marvel because not only are they changing everything that you knew because of what they're doing with the movies, which I don't agree with at all, because I think that's, you know, basically shooting yourself in the foot when the movies decide, you know, we're not making as much money as we were making on the movies, which will happen.
Yeah.
It always happens. That's just...
Yeah.
But I feel like if they keep doing what they're doing, it's going to hurt them. And I'm not enjoying what it is because, like, you're telling me that, you know, for absolutely no reason that Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver are not mutants anymore.
Yeah.
I'm like, that just blows up the world.
Yeah, they've been mutants for 40
that's
years.
The whole
why
point.
Are they not?
They
now?
Added them as a teammate to the Avengers, and they were mutants. But not only were they mutants, they were Magneto's
kids.
One of the biggest villains in the Marvel Universe.
Well, I always like that. I do like that Marvel is willing to change things up, but it feels though that they're changing things up because they almost it feels like they don't have the plan that they once did. They're kind of
because they're reflecting
the movies. The movies, you know, when the movie should be reflecting them.
Yes.
And I think
because you were not going to sell, they feel like I think that they're going to sell comics because of the movies.
Yeah,
and it's just not. I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think they're all of a sudden going to come in. They might a little bit, but I don't think it's going to happen to the extent they want. I think they should leave both audiences separate.
But I do like that they're willing to give a lot more different, you know, upstart writers and artists and let guys, you know.
I think their editorial is a little too lax.
Yeah.
Where DC's is too strict.
Yeah.
I think if they had an equal balance of their editing, because there's some things happening in the comics that you're just like, why did the editors stop that? Like, even Colin mentioned, he's been mentioned in that Hulk thing where he's been inverted into Clue.
Yeah.
It's just like, why didn't an editor say no? I don't know, why did they keep
go back and find a better name?
It's almost like in Batman when Detective Comics. Yeah. It's almost like when Detective, or maybe it might have been Dark Knight, but when they did that thing with Two-Face and then he mutated or something and they're like, he comes up and he's like, you can call me One-Face now because it's just like, oh, where's the sound effects machine?
Or when Jason Todd became that creature in a Bruce Jones's Nightwing run, even Dan DiDio was like, yeah, I don't even remember reading that. I don't know why that happened.
It's just things that, yeah. Editorially, yeah, maybe they... That's why I think, you know, but then, like, we talked about this last week, so I don't want to stay too much on this. The Batwoman thing, when she couldn't get married. And I was like, I'll leave it alone. You know, just let them do that.
Yeah.
Because it's Batwoman. If they just said it was Batman, I'd be like, okay, maybe Batman should get married if you're wanting to do things. With Batwoman, and who cares?
Yeah.
Just let him do it.
Yeah, she's not one of the big three.
Out of this character, let it go.
Yeah, and like, well, and also considering the writer had spent how many months like setting up
the whole
thing. The relationship.
Yeah, he knew what he was doing. And that's probably why this book is getting canceled because it lost a lot of people.
And
something. What other news do we got? Anything else happened in the world of comic books?
I
don't know if you guys talked about Norm Brayfoyle, famed Batman artist, actually suffered a stroke.
Yeah.
And it affected the left side of his body, which he's a left-handed artist.
Aww.
And so they're actually doing a crowdfund to help cover his medical costs because comic artists are freelancers. They do not have
insurance.
Medical insurance or health coverage. So if anyone gets a chance, they should definitely check out look up Norm Brayfoyle. Trust me, if you read Batman through the 90s,
you know
his style and you know his covers. He's an amazing, dynamic artist. In fact, I've been reading some of his past issues this past week. See if you can. It's Christmas week. If you can donate a buck or something, help out.
Yeah.
I'm sure that'd be, make you at least feel good to help out an artist who's probably entertained you for quite some time.
Yeah, if you could, yeah, go in and check that out. I'm not sure the exact website. I know they had something, but if you go Google his name,
you'll find
all the information for it.
And they're, going back and looking at stuff, I don't know if he, I don't remember
numbers, but that one, that it's like raining, it's really dark, and he has Batman standing in the middle with his cape. The only thing I don't like about that cover, I never liked it when they made Batman's cape look like it was like Spawn's cape.
Yeah. But
okay. That I was never a fan of, but like the cover itself is so iconic.
But how, I don't know if maybe he burned some bridges or something, because his stuff is so good, yet why was it, you didn't see him. Like, he was doing some Batman Beyond, some of the digital stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. But like, I mean, like, he was a consistent monthly artist. His stuff was fantastic. His, yeah. Like, I mean, and he did these, I mean, just the, his Batman was more, you know, gymnast in the way that you saw his, the dynamic motion,
yep.
And like the, you know, his, the flips and the action choreography was all so tight.
Yeah.
And yeah, like they should have had him on a new 52 book, you know, easily. They should, you know, yeah. Yeah, it's but yeah, that's kind of some sad news.
Yeah, it was when I saw that, I said, oh, that's a shame, because I didn't know though about the left hand thing.
Yeah,
that was news to me. Matt, we didn't introduce you. Matt stepped in. And
hey guys,
his place.
I'm Matt Todd. You can find me on Twitter at Matthew T Todd, and keep the social media
thing going.
Yeah,
he's been in before. He comes in once in a while, but
I'm back. But good to talk to you guys. Good to be here. And got a big week of comics this week. Nearly.
Hey, you got two bags.
Two bags. Well, I got some
action
figures.
Did you get?
I got the Arrow Canary action figure, okay. Which is a fantastic sculpt. If any of you guys,
I wasn't a fan of the Oliver Queen one.
Yeah,
I thought
they
got his face wrong.
Well, the weird
his
thing
nose is crooked.
And but I mean, you know, and they looks like they did get the abs right because you know he. I'm surprised he didn't come with a salmon ladder.
He didn't come with the ladder, yeah.
But
I like what in the episode where Flash was using it.
Yeah, it doesn't seem that hard.
Yeah.
But and I also got the 0 year Batman because purple gloves. It's awesome.
I have them set aside, but I have Commissioner Gordon because you don't always get a Commissioner Gordon figure.
No,
I have one. I have the Hush Commissioner Gordon.
Okay. Yeah, he actually had another one for me in the back, so I put the other one up.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, that was some great figures this week.
Yeah. The Batgirl I've been debating over.
But the Batgirl, the weird thing about it, there was a Batgirl figure that came out maybe 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, and it doesn't look, it has the purple cape.
Yeah.
This one has a yellow cape.
Yeah, that's more the Capullo design one. I got that, the Thrasher Armor Batman.
Uh-huh.
About
I did too.
Two.
That was pretty
that
awesome.
Is an amazing figure.
I don't like
figure
the face, though, from Bruce Wayne.
He got a new one.
The thing
back there.
The weird thing that they did with the Capullo stuff, that they gave the skin tone, like the paint, is like what a live person's like
skin tone
would look like. I'm surprised they didn't go with this more of a flat paint, because Capullo's style is more animated. It's more of like not cartoonish, but like it's more
less
animated,
realistic.
Style. Yeah. Less realistic, and he says he does that on purpose. He said in interviews that he's actually thrown out entire pages because after he's drawn them, they look too realistic. Which, I mean, oh my gosh, can you imagine this
doing all that
finding
work
or doing all that work, and also like, where the heck can I find the unused Greg Capullo pages? Because that is
his fireplace.
He talk about an artist who is just
cheats them to the gods.
Continually gets better. I mean, even if you look at his first issue of Batman to 30 some issues later,
I'd like to go back and look at his old Spawn stuff.
I've actually have done that. Like I said, I mean that stuff was. I mean, that stuff was very...
The way he draws buildings, like when he draws the city, I love how Gotham has this look now.
Yes.
It's so iconic. And I think the last issue, they put, like, the city, when he was, like, flying, he was gliding into the city. And they put, like, the tower.
Mm-hmm.
They have Old Wayne Tower with the gargoyles on
it. Yes.
And you could just see all that stuff. Even though it's far away, you're just like, oh, yeah, that's
you
that.
See the
and here's the new Batman Wayne Tower, because it's shaped like a bat. It's got the bat ears.
And they have, and also just the new, since Danny Mickey took over as his inker.
Yeah.
I think Danny's put, like, a much thinner, like thinner lines that have really, really just made it just pop even more. And the new color, the colorist they've been using, FCO Plasencia. I don't know how to pronounce it, but you know, they're incorporating, like in Zero Year, where they were using like greens and browns and these different color palettes that are not usually associated with Batman, and it's really working and really popping.
So. You were talking about the look of the face. You weren't a fan of the Thrasher face.
Yeah.
The only thing I thought about that, if you remember though, right after when he gets back to the manor, he was drugged. So they were drawing him very
Because he'd escaped from the catacombs.
So I think that's why it looks like that.
Okay.
I think that's why.
But that, like, there's like, if you like the hands, how articulated the fingers are. There's probably like three or four parts of articulation in each finger. You're like.
Scott Snyder posted on Instagram or Twitter or something. Did you see that where he took the Elf on the Shelf and he has him holding it with the Thrasher suit in his arm, and he's holding him upside down? And I was just like,
that's awesome. You know, no matter what, that has to be pretty cool for that team just to see like a line of action figures based on
what they
just based on theirs. You know, they have the Talon, they have the Thrasher suit, they've got the Zero Year Batman. It's it's really, really cool. That I mean, that team is firing on all cylinders.
And you definitely know they're going to sell. I mean, it's hard enough to get that. And yeah, it's surprising that they got the Thrasher suit.
Yeah.
And that big of an action figure.
I mean, it was really reasonably priced for $40.
$40,
which, that's...
That's amazing. I was setting up already. I was like, this one I've taken out of the box real quick. The rest of them I haven't because I don't have the shelves up yet for them.
Okay.
Which I'm going to have to because I've heard some of the animated series ones are a little fragile.
Yeah, you have to watch the foot in particular. My friend got the Batman and his foot popped off after bending it once or twice.
Okay.
I bought the animated series so far. I don't want so many of the new adventure ones because I didn't like the animation so much as the animated series. But I did buy the Batman because he's not that bad. Yeah.
Did you see they announced the Batman from the original animated series?
That's
with the
one
yellow,
I want.
That's beautiful. Okay.
That's the one I want. So I'm going to be getting that. Joker's coming out in July, I believe.
I think so.
I'm going to be getting that definitely. That'll be good. I bought Catwoman. For animated series. They said that was a little bit fresh.
Well, I still Mr. Freeze figure. I still think that's the best design of Mr. Freeze.
I like the original.
Yes, the original. The one with the goggles, the one that actually has
the goggles and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a fan of the new adventures because I don't like the blue.
Yeah,
I like the gray of the outfit. So I do like that. It just fits the story because it's the Batman art was very noir.
Yes.
And having a Mr. Freeze that actually was cold, he was without the blue, but they were able to do metal look. That's the figure.
Have you guys watched that episode recently?
Heart of Ice?
Yeah.
Yes.
I'll tell you what, man. That's still one of the finest hours of animation, Batman or otherwise.
And that's one of the original art designs when they used to do it on black paper. They actually airbrushed it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They would airbrush it onto that and... They stopped doing it throughout because animation, they actually send it overseas.
Mm-hmm.
And
they had a hard time getting the black stock.
They had a hard time getting the black paper, exactly. Yeah. So, that kind of messed them up on that. But amazing. Heart of Ice.
Well, even so, like...
And the last part, when he's holding the snow globe and the prison. Yeah. And, oh, my God.
It's just so... I mean, it's just fantastic work. I watched that recently. I watched... the Demon's Head, the introduction of Ra's al Ghul.
I've always liked that.
And
I love what they call him, Ra's.
Yes,
they don't
it's
call
Ra's.
Him Ra's because in the new era they've been calling him Ra's, in the movies they call him Ra's.
That
Denny
switches,
O'Neil,
though.
Denny O'Neil said, though, it is Ra's.
It's Ra's, yeah. That's what it is.
Denny O'Neil and...
Created, and him and Neil Adams created,
Neil Adams
so I'm
created,
going
I'm
going with that.
That.
Yeah.
I'm going with them, so it's Ra's.
It's Ra's al Ghul. And
according to Denny O'Neil, he actually talked to somebody who understands Arabic. And he said it is.
I
would be pronounced a race.
Well, yeah, race sounds more natural to the language than the S.
Yeah.
Did I take it you guys talked about the Arrow midseason finale?
Yeah, I actually just got to watch it because I haven't actually talked about it. You guys did.
We did.
I really like their interpretation of Ra's in terms. I at least think that Matt Nable has. he looks and feels like an actor who has lived, you know, a long time. This is a race who's been around. Like, they even make the comment, it's been 67 years since a man's challenged.
Yeah.
And I thought James Bamford, who does the fight choreography for the show, he deserved a raise after the sword fight.
The only thing I didn't like about that episode was, I understand it's TV special effects, but the stab looked so fake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Me and Colin were talking about it, just like, it's more like Walking Dead, because Walking Dead has gotten really
fake,
a little campy with their special effects, because Colin made the comment of their skulls must be made of butter by now.
Yeah. You can't spray people with fire hoses and you know.
It was a good episode.
It was a really good episode,
good to be continued.
And I liked the fact that even when Raish, defeats Oliver, you know, there's not like pride in it. He says, you know,
you did better than
anyone. And there's also like, you know, forgive this. He says that like prayer, almost that prayer that
Do you think we're gonna see Lazarus?
I think so.
Because
Said he's immortal.
Because they've hinted that he is clearly older. We've also seen, Malcolm Merlyn in season one was stabbed through the heart with an arrow, he was able to come back. So I'm assuming.
Think Malcolm Merlyn used the Lazarus pit?
I think so. I think that's how.
Actually one of the things that I read somewhere was there was a scene that was cut out of that. Malcolm Merlyn was actually on the mountain.
It's funny though that not a lot of people could survive a Lazarus pit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they lose their minds. I liked about the animated series. They actually incorporated that.
Yeah.
Them actually losing,
But that's not to say that won't happen anyway. I mean, you know, Roy lost his mind last year with the Mirakuru. So they might go through that now, and it's Roy's turn.
Because they said it's going to be a few episodes before Oliver's back. They said Arsenal's going to kind of take the spotlight for the next couple episodes. So, which I love that Arsenal costume, and
I like the costume,
but I don't like the guy playing him.
I call him
Captain Halfflip.
I think this season he hasn't been given that much to do. I think last year he was doing some good stuff with the Mirakuru and like trying to be a vigilante, but
But the parkour half flips and all that.
Yeah,
like,
and he does them
that's his move.
I don't like it when he does them when they don't need to be needed. When there's a guy standing in front of him basically with a gun and he's like, oh, half flip, and he had enough time to shoot.
Well, it's almost like wrestling where Hulk Hogan has to Hulk up, he has to hit him three times and then get the leg drop. Well, Roy has to do that half flip.
Yeah,
but
he has to do it. That's why he's Captain Half Flip.
Well, I don't think he's the one actually doing it.
Cisco's allowed to give them the name Captain for anything, so. Captain Boomerang, Captain Cold. I know they're his actual names, it's just funny. But, I hope we do see a Lazarus pet. I hope they bring it up. They didn't bring it up in Batman Begins, which I was kind of...
Like I said, the shows have become unapologetically comic booky, and I love it. I love that we're seeing Firestorm. I love that we're seeing the Atom. I love that we're seeing, you know, Deathstroke in his full blue and orange armor.
Deathstroke, and we're going to be seeing Deathstroke.
Manu Bennett actually just posted a photo to Instagram saying that it's time to make a comeback. Kid,
you think he's Suicide Squad, or you think he gets a lot?
I think Oliver's going to have to turn to him for help to defeat Raish. In terms of, we've clearly seen that Oliver may not have the combat skills to defeat Raish.
You know, he looked really bad in that fight. Like,
I think he was supposed to look bad.
But he didn't look like he could fight anybody.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I'll go at you with these two swords.
Though, he just climbed up that giant mountain, and it's like, you know, here, fight. Raish took the elevator in the back,
you saw, you know, when Bruce Wayne climbed up that mountain in Batman Begins, you know, kicked his ass there.
Right, that's how he does it.
Yeah.
He wears it up by a mountain.
Yeah, but I did like that. I did like that Raish started out with no weapons and just had his hands behind his back and was...
That's what I mean. And
wham,
he just looked
completely
incompetent even trying to attack him.
And they got up there and he's just like, you have to wear no shirt.
Yeah.
And then the arrow's just like, yeah, I usually don't, you know. That's basically... Yeah.
Do you have
the salmon ladder? Or Seth? Let's have that competition. Yeah. Okay. Well, that'd be crazy. That, they're just all going like this.
As opposed to, like, you know, in Guardians of the Galaxy being won by a dance off, Arrow defeats Ra's al Ghul by a stem ladder off. You know,
I,
like,
you know what? I can never. I can't. I don't know how I feel about that. Like,
the seven ladder
like,
or the dance off?
The dance off, because at first it's hilarious, but then it's just like, that's how you defeat one of the strongest characters in the Marvel universe?
It's a distraction, Turd Blossom. Yeah.
I kind of, I like it. I like the fact that they committed to it.
It's funny, know? It's just, and they did it.
Yeah.
So let's talk about books we read.
Okay.
I read, well, I'm sure we all read Batman.
Yes. Yes.
That was good. It wasn't the greatest.
No. I think it was a letdown based on the one issue before it.
Yeah.
It's...
Yeah. I love the stuff with the pictures. I loved how... Because we were talking... I think we were talking about that, Colin. The photos and the...
Yeah,
and then the stuff going on where he goes into the hospital, yeah. And then the reenactment of his...
Well, the, family, of his friends, which I people. Mean, the big thing is, no matter what, like, the fact is that in the final panel, the Joker calls Batman Bruce.
Oh, yeah.
Which, that's never happened, you know, in continuity.
Yeah.
And that, to me, that's a huge... Deal
I thought
because
he did that though in Death of the Family.
No,
they made a point of that. That was why the Robins and Batgirl were kind of mad at him because they're just like he could know us, you know. And that was their main point of that. And it turns out,
well, but the thing
he
that
might
the,
actually know,
he might yeah. actually. Well, the thing is, I think he's always known. But you know, when Bruce went to visit him in Arkham Asylum, he says, you know, he said I stared him down and. And he didn't care. And that's this whole thing about Endgame is that at least now it appears that the Joker not only, I mean, knows, but now he cares and wants to use that information.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if he wants to do anything with that information. Because he ends this, that's his game over.
That's why it's called Endgame.
But that's, why I think it's an interesting, you know, dynamic going from Death of the Family, which... it is interesting. If you actually read the trade collections, Snyder has tweaked some of the dialogue to make it a little more clear about the Joker saying, you know, I'm not going to kill you. I want to destroy the family. And,
yeah.
And if you know, you do get a clearer picture there. And like I said, so far, I think this is, I mean, you've heard me talk already about how much I love this team and this run. I think, the setups are always so amazing that sometimes the conclusions do not feel, I don't want to say as good, but they don't feel
they're a letdown compared to
what's been going on. And that's the only thing I'm nervous about for Endgame.
I didn't have that problem with the Night of the Owls.
And I thought Zero Year actually ended pretty awesome.
Zero Year ended pretty good. And I think, and he says that, Scott Snyder said that himself, though, and it has come to be. But Death of the Family, he said, was always going to be a two-parter.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't going to have a huge ending, but this one might.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's kind of the setup for the second part.
And, I mean, I guess they're saying also, I mean, with this whole kind of, I guess they're not calling it a relaunch, I think. But when we come back in June,
after Convergence,
I think they really want to start doing some fresh new stuff. I think Snyder's even indicated that, you know, I want to create new villains, and I'm kind of hoping that we kind of go back to, I think my favorite story that they've done is they did that two-part Clayface story that I just love that it was I just loved a two-part. Really
a
nice short story that was just...
Was that the one where now he's having a hard time holding his...
Yes, where his, like, that... his, like if he touches you, he doesn't just like take your shape. Like he incorporates your DNA. Like he's literally like losing everything of himself.
Yeah.
Because they also used him a lot at the same time on The Dark Knight.
Yeah.
When they did, because when they were running at the same time.
Yeah, they were using Clayface a lot.
They were using him and Mad Hatter a lot.
Was that in the trades? That Clayface story?
I believe the Snyder one. No, it's going to come out. I believe not in the preview that came out today, but the previous ones. They're kind of doing like a collection of like the one issue stuff that's
been
between.
Yeah,
because there's a couple like there's the like
and the Mr. Freeze story,
the issue zero
Mr. Freeze was the annual.
That was it. That was the annual. That was actually in part two of the Night of the Owls.
There were two trades.
Yeah, and then but they're doing.
Oh yeah, that was the Night of the Owls.
They're doing a collection of kind of like the odds and end issues because they did, you know, the zero issue that took place in 0 year before 0 year.
Okay.
You know that where. But yeah, they're doing kind of a collection of that, the post death of Damian issue, the yeah. you know the.
Some oh of yeah, the, they had those. That's right. Yeah, so I could have sworn because I just
Requiem. That was what
yeah.
A few months ago, I'd say I sat and reread all of Scott Snyder's trades.
Yeah.
For Batman, and wow, that was fun. Reading them all at once.
Oh yeah.
This is such a good way of doing it. But that Night of the Owl stuff, wow, just really good stuff.
Sorry, I was laughing.
And I actually wouldn't mind seeing the return of Lincoln March.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I keep wondering if he's involved in Batman Eternal.
Well, I do wonder. You know, I keep going back and forth as to, you know, is he just a man who believes he's Thomas Wayne Jr.
or is he Thomas Wayne Jr. Yeah,
but I kind of I know that. You know, I love the fact that you want to have a mystery, but I do kind of wish we could get a definitive.
Are we?
Yes, no.
How long do we have Scott Snyder on the book?
I know that Capullo's contracted for at least
two years,
and
and he's staying as long as he does.
Yeah, I mean they're a team, and they will one doesn't come without the other.
To come back with that, which he's the only one who's going to be able to tell that story.
Yes, absolutely.
That has to be a second parter because I want to know more of what's happening with the Lincoln March as well. And the side backstory is really good.
Just real quick, I was just laughing at the counter because there was a Newsarama posted an article about Tom Brevoort talking about the end of Axis and said, "What's your biggest takeaway from Axis?" And the only comment so far was, "Biggest takeaway that Marvel needs better editorial control." Right? That's why I was laughing.
Yeah. I saw something about something Marvel related news. Not news, but like a conversation Bleeding Cool was having. I don't remember now. They had it posted today, and I think it was Rich Johnson. He was talking not negatively about Marvel, but something that's going on right now. But I'll have to look that up.
Did you read Batman Robin?
Yeah, it was good. It was good. And him taking on Darkseid.
Yeah,
I think that was that's been a really solid book. I think it's been a pretty underrated book actually.
How do you feel about Damian having a superpower?
Well,
haven't seen it yet.
We haven't seen it yet.
What happens?
I mean, the initial idea of
we've got previews of it that they put in. They've been throwing online where he's fighting Kalibak. So I guess
I think that's in this Robin Rises special that came out today.
The Alpha.
But I think, listen, when if you told me the idea of Batman having a son, I would have been like, no. But actually, Pete Tomasi, more than Grant Morrison, made me love that character, Damian. Like, I actually didn't really enjoy much of Grant Morrison's Damian.
I don't
think
Grant Morrison was wanting to necessarily throw that. Yeah. I think, well, first of all, during the majority of Grant Morrison's run, not majority, but since his time of having Damian, he didn't really... Bruce wasn't around.
Yeah.
So called that.
He was in time.
Yeah. He was lost in time. He passed Captain America at some point.
Yeah.
Because they were both lost in time at the same
time. Like, that's
with the magic time bullet.
That's the crossover special I'd love to see is just like Bruce and Steve meeting in time.
Yeah.
You know, like.
Wouldn't that be awesome if like they got confused? They both went to Marvel along with the DC.
And then.
Batman just.
And they're saved
by the Thanos.
And they're saved by Doctor Who.
Doctor
shows up, but I think it's been really great. And I thought Pete Tomasi, Patrick Gleason drew one of the coolest dark sides I've seen in a long time.
He just keeps waking up though. It's kind of funny because like he wakes up. I think he was already awake in Earth 2. He wakes up in Earth 2, but I think he was already awake by Batman and Robin.
It's interesting. I have no, but like I've kind of dropped off Future's End, and I still read Worlds and Earth 2.
Yeah.
But I don't know what the hell is happening between. All right, now Future's End is 5 years in the future, but not, but it's it's
yeah, and Dark and Dark and World's End isn't.
And then and Future's End is talking about stuff at World's End, and I'm
it's converging.
Yeah, it's I need like a Spark Notes version.
Grant Morrison will make you a map.
Oh, yeah. That'll be clear.
Yeah.
That map is pretty cool, though.
That is pretty cool. And I'm actually excited to read that guidebook.
I wish it was a little more descriptive, though, like what the Earths are.
Yeah. And I'm excited
to
read
the
guide.
A lot of them have stayed the same since pre-New 52.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Shazam Earth is still the same. I think it's Earth 5.
Thunderworld.
I think it's Earth 5. I could be wrong. Earth X is still the Nazis won World War II.
Which that's going to be the Jim Lee special they're doing, right? Or is that going to be the Mastermen?
Yeah, they're going to be doing that.
It's going to be the Mastermen, I guess, versus the Freedom Fighters. Uncle Sam and the Freedom Fighters.
Yeah.
Sorry, yeah, no. Supposedly Future's End and World's End are supposed to
converge.
And what would the book be called?
There's
brutal. Why are you doing this, Adam? Pull the shade. What's this ball of fire in the sky? We're not supposed to see this in December.
We need Mr. Burns to block it out.
But yeah, that's supposed to lead into convergence.
Colin, what did you read this week?
Get to it.
I read Batman. I read Batman and Robin. I couldn't even tell you what came out.
What did you think of that, man?
It was okay. I was very confused. Hey! I was very confused by the outdoor scene in the hospital. That took me out.
That I think a lot of people had some issues with. I didn't read Batman Eternal.
I haven't read anything.
Trust me. I don't know why this week, because I looked at the cover and I'm just like, it's in between the first and the second chapter. It's the one with Catwoman on the cover.
Okay.
Well, I guess she was on the last cover, too?
Yeah.
Or maybe it was the orange
actually,
one.
No, I think
no, it was the orange one.
Okay. I know it dealt with that one.
Yeah, he visits her and, you know, Selina, you can't do this. And, yeah. You know, she's like, well.
It felt like a thing where they were getting ready.
There's a break in between. Yeah, in between acts.
There's a large part of Batman Eternal I have really enjoyed. I just, if it had been 25 issues, I think, instead of 52. Or, I mean, I know why. I know why they wanted a weekly book. They wanted a weekly Batman book. But if it had just been a little shorter, I think it would have, the scripting would have been a little tighter and just really like.
I've enjoyed it.
I like what they're doing better than what Future's End's doing, where a writer is writing an arc inside the book.
Yes,
as opposed
I agree.
To, you're mixing it up because that just gets confusing and it's. The tones are very different.
Yeah. I am excited to read the Grayson annual this week. That's a book that has really impressed me. It's in the fact that I didn't expect to like it at all, and it's just been a really consistent.
See, I think it's been hit and miss. Although the last issue with him and the baby, really really liked.
That was fantastic. That was. Very, very good. And the Midnighter and
There was a lot. There were a lot of one at times.
Yeah,
and I kind of like that by themselves.
But the issue that was before that, when he was at the Academy.
Oh, with them kind of just
that one, I didn't really like.
I liked that one was okay, but the one beforehand where it was the guy who had the guns for eyes, I thought that was a really. It kind of dealt with Dick Grayson having to, you know, trying to use a firearm and not using a firearm and why, you know, I mean, we all know why he doesn't, but like him trying, them dealing with that problem of how do we have a character, you know.
He's a spy, but he won't
use a gun.
Yeah.
The only thing I'm a little confused at, they seem to know he's Nightwing.
Yes, they do.
Aren't they nervous that he is with Batman? Like, that's what I don't get. Who else do they think is bugging them?
I think it's a matter of like, well, you know. I think it's just you're kind of taking the premise that they
know but don't care.
Or I don't know if because Nightwing had more of at least in the New 52 we've seen that Nightwing's much more separate from Batman.
Yeah.
So that they may not know that the Batman and Robin. You know, they may know that he's Nightwing, but they don't know that he was Robin.
That's true.
Well, I guess they would, though, because he was outed on television.
But they didn't out him as Robin. They outed him as Nightwing and Dick Grayson.
So nobody else assumed.
Yeah.
I get you. The, what was I going to say? No, I lost it. What the hell?
I don't know.
It was there. I had it, and then I lost it.
What about Godhead or New Guardians? Did you read that?
The New Guardians wasn't one of my favorites. Sinestro is not involved in this today, is he?
Sinestro's book came out today. So today you got.
So Sinestro is a new story altogether.
Well, no, it shouldn't be. It should be.
It might be an
Red Lanterns. The Green Lantern Annual is supposed to be the epilogue to that, but you got Red Lanterns, Sinestro, and then the Annual that should wrap this up. But it seems like there was a lull almost to wait to get to this week's issues.
Yeah.
That there's still a lot that needs to happen if you want to close it cleanly.
I just remember what I was going to say, Grayson, he's homesick. I love how they keep playing that up.
Yeah.
He is very homesick. He does not want to be there anymore.
Yeah.
And I wonder if that's going to start affecting stuff. But, okay.
I don't want to be a spy anymore.
Yeah.
What's the artist is fantastic on the book.
Oh, yeah. I forget who
Mikael Jansen, I think.
It's Jansen.
His stuff is really, really terrific.
Yeah.
They even made that costume work. That not costume, costume work.
Mm-hmm. Which has a G on it.
It's not a G. It's just the way it's like a buckle. It is a G.
But Godhead, I think it has been really.
That's been a really good event.
I've been very impressed with that actually. Like I said, I kind of dropped off of Green Lantern when Johns left, but I kind of came back because I wanted to see more Orion because I loved Orion in the Wonder Woman run. I've actually been surprised how much I've enjoyed it.
Do you have those transition glasses?
I do.
Okay, because they tinted, and I said, "Oh, that's great," because you seem to be surviving where he wasn't.
It's still pretty tough. I will not. Yeah, the sun is. For those in Radio Land, the sun is literally shining in some of our eyes right now.
Yeah. It's literally shining on us, and now we're melting.
Yeah,
but
Godhead. It's really worth reading. I think the new I really do think the new gods are a little confusing with the new 52. I think that's a little bit of a problem.
Well, it's also confusing because you got that going on, and I get it. I know it's converging, but you got that going on, and then you got what's going on in World's End at the same time, and it's like, did I read about this?
And then we have the approaching Darkseid War, which is going to be like the big summer event.
After convergence, so something's going to be going on.
That's I wish the editorial would maybe get a little tighter because we're having a lot of Darkseid, and we're supposed to believe that Darkseid is such.
They
made him literally bigger, but like just a matter of like, okay, by the time we get to Darkseid War, are we going to be kind of like, well,
who's going to be left?
Or what's going to be the, shocking thing of that?
Anybody get to read Secret Six?
No.
I thought it was okay. I mean, I had such a love for the previous incarnation. Oh, Catman's awesome. I enjoyed seeing that. I just wanted to see. I don't know. I understand they wanted to do something different because it was a new start. But it's this cranky old fanboy me who wanted. I wanted more of the old. But or just even seeing Catman and Floyd Lawton Deadshot just kind of
Hold that on the frames. That's what I do when I have to talk to Adam anyway.
What he sounds like when he talks.
Yeah.
Well.
I'd block it for you, but you insulted me. So.
Now here's a better picture of that Superman statue, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Right
there. I liked it better, though, the one he showed on the phone.
Ooh.
Sorry. I haven't even. It was my first opening of the previews, and they're doing a second edition of that Jock Batman Black and White.
That's
very cool. That was very cool.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. I normally don't squeal it.
Oh, the mother box.
That's what, $60?
Yep.
We're not talking about
free. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, with lights and sound.
Oh.
Does it actually
boom tube?
That's up to you. Oh, that's a very good one.
If you use your imagination, Pat, you can do anything.
That's not true, because I...
Yep. Batman animated series.
Yes.
Action figures. Let's see, what else did we read? Pat, what else did you read?
I'm trying to think. I think that might have been it.
I thought Batgirl was good. I enjoyed it. I know there was some controversy over it, but I thought that was definitely actually their strongest issue. Can we just talk about how awesome every Darwin Cook variant has been this month on DC?
Yeah, I don't like the outfit. We were talking about
every.
No, what my problem with it is that right there, she's had a not to be offensive, a boob reduction, and severely so.
Maybe she was wearing a push-up bra in the old suit.
I'm not saying that's the most important thing, but it's just a drastic physical change of character. She looks like Batgirl.
I'm wanting to send this message out to Marvel.
How would Milo Minara draw?
Hopefully they're listening, but I'm getting tired of the covers that have a pile of villains behind the character. And it's always Doctor Doom and Venom and Kraven the Hunter and... They did that just recently, and then the Squirrel Girl cover coming out is going to be that. Why do they do that?
Moon Knight. Same thing.
How was Moon Knight?
Moon Knight's good. It's really a book. The coloring on it is really, really important to the tone of the book.
Yeah, I remember I read the first issue of it, and I remember he did a lot of full white, where they didn't even color him.
Yeah, well, it's Mark Spector is not Moon Knight right now.
He's like, what's his name on it?
Well, no.
Did they change that to
Mr. Knight?
Mr. Knight.
Yeah. Well, no, he lost the power of conscience.
He's useless, huh?
No, he's not crazy yet. Well, yeah, he's definitely still that. His psychiatrist stole the power of Khonshu. She's from some African country and wants to get the warlord that, you know, was genocidal. You know, she wants to kill him off. So she's blackmailing a cop to help her do it now.
Yeah.
And then Mark jumped in and tried to stop it, even though, you know, he's not Moon Knight. I mean, it was... Mark Spector in a ratty T-shirt, you know, jump.
That's his new book.
Yeah, that's actually the name. Mark Spector in a ratty T-shirt.
It's got a subtitle.
But it's been a really good book.
That's good. I left the book when Ellis left, but it's good to hear that it's still good. I definitely want to come back and I at least saw they were doing some interesting stuff with layouts and. I mean, but that Ellis run was so good. Right. Him and Declan Shelby were just spectacular work. That issue, that essentially the raid with Moon Knight.
Yeah,
that issue was just fantastic.
Actually, my favorite issue of when he was doing it was the one where it was essentially the Telltale Heart, where the body was underneath.
Oh yes, that was trippy, and the artwork was gorgeous.
Yeah.
Did you read World's End? I can't remember what it was about. I know.
I can't remember because it between reading Batman and Robin, where he's an apocalypse, and then World's End.
I know that. I think that was the one when Darkseid comes back. He wakes up Darkseid.
Yeah, Mr. Miracle wakes up Darkseid, and he tells him to choose. Well, Barda
is now a traitor. Barda switches over. He goes.
No, Fury.
No, it's Barda. Barda was the one. Fury went with him. Fury went with Mr. Miracle, which I thought.
Right, at the end, but at first he thought that Fury was the one that betrayed him.
Yeah.
And then at the end, she said, well, you know, take your time to decide, and then she busts him out of whatever he, you know, restraints.
Because she's wanting to take him down as well. Superman's back. Superman wasn't dead, it turns out.
Yeah.
I don't think we've mentioned that at all. But he's.
But
he
is,
doesn't
he,
have any
is
powers.
He is he really Superman? Are we have it, we determined? Have
is,
we determined?
Yeah. We determined that he is Superman. He's been used to make the clones.
Okay.
Yeah. The problem is he doesn't have any power, which I think is because he's been underground.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when he's underground for too long, he's not absorbing yellow sunlight. I never understood how Superman survives in space, because if he gets too far from the yellow sun, let's say if he goes to a red sun, he's going to be dead.
I kind of.
So he's the detour.
That's the one thing is I thought Earth 2 was so good. Because it had purposely kept, you know, Wonder Woman and Superman and Batman away and creating either new versions with, you know, Val Zod or creating the Thomas Wayne Batman. I don't know if I'm not necessarily loving the fact that, all right, well, Superman's back, you know, I mean.
Yeah. Well, but Superman's back as they're killing off the planet.
Yeah.
So
I think
he
will die in this.
I think that's the last one I read, where when they found him underground.
Yeah, that was the last one, yeah. And what's up with Huntress?
Dasaad forced her into becoming a Fury. And I think we know that won't last because we've read Future's End.
I'm curious what they're going to do with Thomas Wayne Batman, because for the past couple issues, he's just been angry and punching. He's out of Miracle, yeah.
I'm
a little curious about who's going to the Earth One, I guess. And who is staying?
Well, anybody that we've seen in Future's End, we know is going.
We haven't seen Green Lantern, and we haven't seen Val Zod.
Yeah.
And we haven't seen Kal-El. So we haven't seen them. We haven't seen Thomas Wayne.
But Thomas Wayne is not a character I would think.
They mentioned a couple that stayed. I think Green Lantern was the one that they were like, they're staying behind to deal with stuff.
Yeah.
So it's not like the whole Earth was destroyed, but maybe they're rebuilding it. Him being an Avatar, he can't really leave that Earth.
I just saw that.
So, I don't know. I think it's been a good book. I think World's End has been a good book. I think Earth 2 has been an amazing book, even with the problem that they lost their main writer at that time.
Well, I thought Tom Taylor did a really good job taking over Earth 2. I'd enjoyed it when Robinson was on there, and I kind of fell away from it, and I jumped back on with Tom Taylor, and I was just, every month, I was looking forward to that one.
It's just a really decent, really fun read. I think it just, each issue is just good, where Justice League did not start very well.
I don't know how Justice League started out with such a rough start. Like, it felt that first Justice League arc felt like Geoff Johns trying to write a Marvel book. And he's written a Marvel book before, but, like, it felt like it wanted to make the Justice League, the Avengers, because they were angry with each other and kind of...
It was very weird start for Justice League, and then how did he
need
to get
a name tag like you?
Yeah.
Matt's name tag is a sales transaction assistant.
Ooh.
That's what I am.
Colin. It'll say Colin, comic book guy.
I was going to put Chief Cook and Bottle Washer.
Comic.
No, I was just flipping through the Marvel previews. There's a $500 Secret Wars set.
Oh.
And I'm like, okay.
Oh, but he wanted Secret Wars to begin with.
Marvel Superhero Secret Wars.
How's the $20 trade version of Secret Wars?
I think it's $25.
$25,
still, but yeah, it's doing okay.
That's better than $500.
I don't see $500. My God.
And I doubt you'll be getting that.
Annihilation Conquest Omnibus, $125. Well, since I haven't sold the Annihilation one, that pass. So sorry. Continue. Just I haven't read. I'm way behind.
That's
a coloring book for $25.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, parents are going to buy that for their kids. By the dollar store.
I'll bet you all the dot to dot were already done, too.
Oh, son of a
bunch of weird trades.
That's what I want to see. They're doing a Wolverine weekly book.
The Wolverines,
correct. They're going to be releasing every trade every 5 issues.
Okay.
How are they going to buy your issues?
So it's every month there's going to be a trade of it as well.
Which means I'm going to wait for the trade if I want to read it.
But I'm just saying, if they do that for a year...
It's 12 trades.
It's going to be like... Slow down, guys. So, sorry.
It seems you're working with DC, just bringing out them. They
didn't know that the Futures End one came out.
They wrote Batman Eternal.
Yeah, I know Batman Eternal was out.
They both came out.
Okay. Then Futures End must have just come out.
How did she come us, Colin?
It was...
God! Oh, geez, Colin.
Thanks for ruining Christmas.
You're right.
So, I don't know. Anybody else have anything they read? I can't think of anything.
No, right? I can't even remember.
Yeah.
Do you have your list of what's coming out?
I do not.
Do you know what's coming out?
Next week?
Not much. Next week's a light week. Next week is
Actually, no, I can't.
Colin's going to go get something. Tell us what's coming out.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. by Mark Waid.
That's right, yeah.
Because it came in with the shipping this week, I had to like the shows. I had to have a post-it note, so I made sure I set aside the right ones.
I am excited to at least, I mean, if Waid's writing it, I'm going to give it a shot.
Abigail and the Snowman, which is a Boom book. We have Onu Miracle Man Annual, which was an unpublished story.
Well, the Joe Quesada story is new, right?
Yeah, it was with Grant Morrison and Joe Quesada drew it. Batman Eternal, Earth 2 World's End, and Future's End is what DC's coming out with. East of West is from Image, as well as an Image First Witches number one print dollar book. Massive Volume 4 and X Volume 4 from Dark Horse. I do not understand why they put out a trade, because I order one copy of a trade and then reorder as it sells.
Yeah.
So I'm going to get one of these. You know, big whoop. S.H.I.E.L.D. number 1 from Marvel. We got Star Trek Planet of the Apes from IDW. And then Valiant is doing X-O Man of War 31.
So Captain Kirk a chimp in that one?
I don't think so.
He's a damn dirty ape.
Either way, I'm on board that book.
Yeah, so it's kind of a weird. There's nothing. I mean, S.H.I.E.L.D. is to pull people in.
Spock.
But I remember the first time they did this, it was like Blackest Night 6. You know, they've made it big.
Yeah,
there's just nothing. I mean, Marvel's trying to make this Miracle Man big, but
I'm surprised they didn't hold off the last issue of Access then.
Yeah, me too.
Although it's not the
Batman Annual or so. Well, I understand DC only in the sense they had their three weekly, so they just kept them going, so they don't miss a week.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. That's, and we're not having a S.H.I.E.L.D. party because it got canceled. So.
S.H.I.E.L.D. got canceled?
No, the party got canceled.
Oh. You canceled it?
No.
Marvel canceled
it? Yep. They didn't send me my
Well, that was the only reason I was going to get the book, but never mind. Huh?
Yeah. Okay. Now they can cram it with walnuts.
Ha ha. Cram it with walnuts. Merry Christmas.
Turn the punch bowl.
Yep.
Merry Christmas. That's a podcast.
Are we
done? Hey, on that note,
if Ryan Sargent is listening to this podcast, though,
you're a punk.
Colin has a book called The Anatomy of Zurin R, which explains Grant Morrison's.
But Adam tried to text you.
And I tried to text you, and it didn't work. So you should come in and look at it.
Ryan's not listening. He hates us.
He hates us. But I tried, right?
Oh, well.
So how did we do here? How did you do?
I know. We did good. Well, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
We'll talk to you maybe next week. Bye.
Buildings in a single bound. Came from out the shadows, cause that's how we get down. I'm in your town. Walk between billionaires and evil scientists. Sorcerer supreme, all the teenagers are buying this. Gamma radiation, nobody could mess with this. Hold steady with venomous symbiotes in my penmanship. Your friendly neighborhood MC back on the scene. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry. All I'm seeing is green and red and blue. I hold the shield for America. Winter soldier out Siberia. Rocking any microphone that's near to ya. Clobbering it till in the coffin you sit. Agenda for extinction, bring out the horsemen of the apocalypse. Part of an evil brotherhood, acolytes that believe. Super friends who make beats and cats that MC. It's the area code to the planet that we protect. The Infinity Watch is now back in effect. Now, put your hands up like this. For all the vigilantes in the streets taking a risk. For all the heroes undercover ducking, pressing the pigs. For all the villains that he's scheming on that doomsday tip. That's how we do it. Superpowered MC who can spit. That's how we do it. Superhuman on these tracks that I flip. Ain't concerned with them other things. These rappers want to talk about ice chains and fancy cars. Me, I'm trying to build a mansion in Asgard and fund the Hellfire Society. Studio with Cerebro, mind patterns and rhyme, cause I rap about what I feel though. You hear the rhythm and you're hearing the track. I'm here to take it back to days of future past in my raps. I'm the Stan Lee of the streets. Demand things when I speak, like your attention and respect when I jam these in the beats. And my tape deck pops, my mixtapes still rock. They're in your system, that's what sound waves telling me on the block. Ricky Bobby Drake's the only ice that I rock with. And mental telepathy is the only style that I talk with. Close your eyes, you can listen up in your mind. During this song, been freestyling there the whole time. Now, put your hands up like this. For all the vigilantes in the streets taking a risk. For all the heroes undercover, ducking, pressing the pigs. For all the villains that he's scheming on that doomsday tip. That's how we
catcher on these cats, right? Yeah. Spitting a rhythm that nobody's getting. I'm down to the infinite watches. The wisdom will battle these limited children. I'm ripping tracks. I go Mark 5 with a power pack. Hawkeye, what I'm aiming at. Stop time. Watch your chain react. Can't lie. I'm a brainiac. Little they know I'm still in the show. I'm filling the streets. Unlimited flow. The second of Doc Ock when I'm killing it. Yo, please. Shots to your chest. You're rocking a vest like Cable did. I'm hungry as Wally West at a kitchen table. Nobody will save you, kid. I'm Frank with a gun. I'm Hank with his son. I'm Wob when I skip lunch. Eating rappers, man. So thanks for the gum. I'm Stark's wallet back before all these banks had a run. I'm Lex Luthor when I rap. I'm trying to blank out the sun. Cause all I see are friendly faces and shifty eyes. Keeping these anonymous commenters honest. Making them realize. You love to hate me on the net when I try. That's why you get no love when you're up on my block. Now, put your hands up like this. For all the vigilantes in the